This morning's scripture reading can be found in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and our belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
It's good to be here this morning as we are about to embark on our study. I do want to let you know that if you are visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest, and we're thankful for you being here with us on this morning. I do want to reiterate one announcement about the Fishers of Men, that it will be beneficial for you to sign up if you have not already done so. We know that it is quite of a long ordeal, a few weeks, 13 weeks, but it would be worth your time if you would consider that. This morning, I want us to consider some more thoughts from last week's study concerning sanctification. Remember, on last week, we talked about sanctification by God's truth. And we notice a passage in John 17:17 where Jesus, in his prayer, as he said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. It was going to be the word of God that was going to be setting them apart. On Sunday evening, we talked about the need for sanctification and why we all need to be sanctified and how it is a process. And at the time in which one is baptized into Christ, God sanctifies that individual, but then through the Spirit's teaching, the sanctification process continues. And this is why the more of God's word you get into your heart, and the more you apply that word, the more you are made in the image of Christ. Romans 8:29. And the reason why that's important is because when one obeys the gospel, they still have some of that old life in them. Yet, through the word of God, and through application of the word of God, one begins to see that they need to be cleaner and cleaner and cleaner as time goes on. And this is why when we consider great passages as was read in your hearing, Paul, as he is writing this second letter to the church at Thessalonica, remember in Acts 17, the background of this particular book and how Paul and Silas were literally ran out of there, if you will. But we know for a fact that Paul was concerned about these people. They were his brethren. But he reminded them that they were chosen by God by sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. And then he said that they were had obeyed the gospel, whereunto God has called you by thy gospel. The good news, the glad tidings, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was designed for the Thessalonian brethren to be steadfast, to be steady, to be stationary, to stand firm, to persevere, to persist, to keep one standing, if you will. And this was going to be taking place through sanctification, being set apart. This process in which God is cleaning us up, if you will, through his word and the application thereof. So three things I want us to consider on this morning, and I shall not keep you long, but three things I want you to consider. Number one, I want you to consider as it relates to one of the key points of sanctification is wisdom. Number two, I want you to consider as another consideration, and that is transformation. And then the last one I want us to consider as it relates to sanctification is the word daily. So we're going to be looking at wisdom, we're going to be looking at transformation, and we're going to be looking at something that is taking place every single day. Number one, turn your Bibles to the book of James. The book of James. When we consider wisdom and its part that it plays, if you will, if I can use it that way, in sanctification. Here, we're going to see something as it relates to wisdom. In verse number 17, here we see James, our brother in Christ, half-brother of Jesus Christ, says, "But the wisdom that is from above, from God," number one, "is pure." Now, we can continue to look at the words peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, so forth and so on. But the word pure there gives us our idea of sanctification. It is closely related to it, if you will. We stop and we consider this particular word or phraseology. We understand that pure also means chaste. When we consider sanctification, God wants his people to receive their wisdom from him because he himself is pure. He himself is chaste, meaning that he is free from defilement. There is no defilement in God whatsoever. In 1 John 1 and verse number 5, John, our brother, says very succinctly that God is light. And in him there is no darkness. Did you hear that, friends? There is no darkness at all. God is a sanctified one. There is no darkness in him at all. And the reason why we bring that particular point up is because it is him that is sanctifying us through Jesus Christ, through the Word, through the blood of Christ, through the Spirit. And the reason why he's doing this is because he wants us to think and be like him. When we consider this word pure, chaste, it means to be free from taint, lewdness. It's setting us apart naturally for the time in which we live in today. I like what Webster has to say about this particular word, and I thought it was pretty interesting because I thought I was going to find something different from Webster. Webster even says, as relates to sanctification or chaste, it means to refrain from acts or even thoughts or desires that are not virginal or pure. Sanctification is so important. So when we consider some of the benefits of sanctification, let's consider this particular vantage point. Friends, sanctification is a natural spiritual wall that God puts up in our hearts. A natural spiritual wall. And no wonder the Apostle Paul could tell the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 1 through 8 as it relates to the will of God. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." And then he tells them to abstain from fornication and things of that nature. Friends, when we have the word of God in our hearts, it actually builds up a wall around us to protect us. To protect us from sin. Oh, friends, I'm not talking about that we're not going to sin every now and then. But what I am saying is that because of the wall that I have up, then I know the boundaries that God wants me to be within. Now, when we consider this spiritual wall for sanctification, under the point of wisdom, I want us to consider Titus 2 and verse number 5. In Titus 2 and verse number 5, Paul is talking to an evangelist, Titus. He gives him a responsibility in which he needed to take care of. Titus 1, 5, "Go out and to establish elders." Okay. But you get to chapter 2 and he's dealing with domestic things in the church. He talks about the wife and how the wife ought to be discreet. And then he uses a word, chaste. Now, I know the context is dealing with the wife. That's good. But friends, the principle still applies to us as children of God. That we have to be discreet. We have to be chaste. We have to be people who are spiritual, sanctified. When we consider this particular word, Peter would use this in 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn there real quick. I want us to take notice of this because this is very important, especially for husbands. Young men, if you're looking for a wife, or maybe you're a husband already, you want to make sure that your wife is this way. But when we consider 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 2, this particular attribute You should be able to see this. There it is right there. Now look at verse number 2. Verse number 2 as it relates to wives being submissive to their own husbands. But notice what he says in verse number 2. That they without a word may be warned by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste. There's our word right there. Your chaste lifestyle, conduct, accompanied by reverence. Now you stop and you consider this. This is vitally important for the husband. The husband should see this in his wife. You know what? Our husband, Jesus Christ, ought to see it in his wife. We're chaste. We're pure. And the reason why is because we receive that wisdom from above. James 1 and verse number 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Oh, he's not talking about miraculous. Friends, when we ask God for wisdom, we go to his word. Why? Because Jesus is the very wisdom of God. We understand that wisdom is what's going to cultivate our lives and help us to be the people that God desires for us to be. Proverbs chapter 8. But then look at verse 5 and 6 of that same chapter. In 1 Peter 3, verse 5 and 6. Being chaste, young ladies. Wives, being chaste puts you in great company. It puts you in great company. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husband. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, notice with a little L, whose daughter you are if you do good and are not afraid of any terror. Friends, did you see that? Young ladies, it is all right to be chaste. It is all right to be pure. And in the world in which we live in today, if we're not careful, our young ladies are not growing up chaste and pure. There are so many things that are flooding the airways, flooding our phones, billboards. We have to be teaching our young ladies, we want you to be chaste. We want you to be pure. We ought to be teaching our sons the same thing. We need to be putting this in front of the church that you need to be chaste and you need to be pure. But then also notice 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, I want to draw out a principle that Paul was telling Timothy in the context of laying his hands on or approving of elders. But I want to draw this as a principle for all of us. I'm not talking about the minister. I'm not talking about eldership. Right now, I'm talking about a principle for all of us to have in our personal lives. When we consider verse number 22, notice what there the Bible says. Do not lay your hand on anyone hastily or suddenly, nor share in other people's sin. Keep yourself, here's our word right here, pure. Friends, when we consider sanctification, when we consider the word of God, and no wonder, as Jesus would say in John 17 again, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. When I have God's word in my heart and I'm praying for understanding and praying for wisdom, and as I go to the word of God, and while I'm allowing the word of God to rest, rule, and abide in my heart, Psalm 119, verse 105, and verse number 11, then it puts me in a position where I'm choosing the right people around me. Now, consider this. When we consider sanctification, it helps us in associating with the right people. The last thing we want to do is to approve of a person who is not approved by God. Need I say that again? Friends, I'm not talking about the context. Forget the context right now. I'm talking about a good principle for all of us. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communication corrupt good morals. Sanctification helps us in our morals. And this is why when we consider the very nature of God, the character of God, our character must be in line with his. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings. Let's illustrate this. And the reason why I want to bring this particular point out in 1 Kings chapter 13 is because if this man, the man of God, would have kept this in his mind, he was he would have been alive after this situation. Do you know that if you're not using good judgment, it can cause you to associate with the wrong people, and the wrong people can cause disturbances in your life? In verses 1 through 10, the man of God was given a command. This man of God was told to go and speak to Jeroboam and prophesy unto him, and he was not to eat there nor drink there, nor, and he was supposed to leave in a different direction. He did that in verses 1 through 10. In verses 11 through 19, verse 18, there was this old prophet. He was a false prophet. He actually told the man of God that the angel of the Lord spoke to him and told him to come back and eat with him. Here, the man of God ponders it. He thinks about it. He even told him that, no, that's not true. But he went anyway. He went against the instructions of Almighty God. Well, as he was eating, God told him that he was going to die. We see this in verses 19 through 25. He gets up, he leaves, he's on his donkey, the lion comes, and he kills him. And next thing you know, he's standing or sitting right next to the man of God. Here's the point. Church, watch your associations. More of our associations today are virtual. They're online. Watch your associations. The church must keep herself pure. As Christians, individually, we must keep ourselves pure. And the reason why I want to bring this particular point up is because evil communication does corrupt good morals. Yes, we can spend time with the local congregation, but if we spend more time with those who don't think like God, we're going to find ourselves thinking contrary to God. And this is why sanctification is so important. And when you consider the children of Israel and when God brought them up out of Egyptian bondage, and the next thing you know, they're finding themselves in idolatry again. They go into the promised land, if you will, into Canaan, and they're finding themselves mingling with the nations of Canaan. They find themselves thinking contrary to the will of God. One thing I understand now more than ever is that the wisdom of God wanting the church to be in the middle of people. The reason why is because he wants us to be a moral culture in the midst of an immoral world. He wants us to demonstrate to the world how righteousness is, what sanctification looks like. What does sanctification look like? Well, it looks like good moral character, sound in speech, love and purity and kindness. But it also looks like admonishment, reproving and rebuking. Oh, it's a balanced life. It's a life that is seeking to please God in everything. But then now turn to 1 John 3. Sanctification under the heading of wisdom still. In 1 John 3 and verse number 3, sanctification also gives us a view of what is to come. When we consider 1 John 3 and verse number 3, our purity is wrapped up in the coming of Christ. Oh, did you get that point? Notice what this particular verse says. 1 John 3 and verse number 3. And everyone who has this hope, what hope? The hope of being like Christ when he comes back. The hope of seeing Christ when he is revealed. Purifies himself just as he himself is pure, if you will. Friends, when we consider what we're looking forward to, Jesus is coming back for his church. 1 Corinthians 15, 23 and 24. Jesus is coming back for the called out ones, the ones that have kept themselves chaste. Ephesians 5, 26 and 27. But turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 and look at verses 17 through verse 21. And you have to ask yourself this question. Am I allowing the sanctification process to take its place in my life every single day? We'll get to that. And the reason why is because we have something to look forward to. Brethren, verse 17, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us as for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, crying, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. These are individuals who at one time been set apart for the master's use, if you will. They preached sound gospel, sound doctrine. They were living the life, if you will. And now Paul says with tears in his eyes that they're not living a sanctified life. They're not preaching the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They're not being an example to those who are on the outside. And then he says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Friends, as sanctified people, set apart people by the word of God, set apart people by the blood of Christ, set apart people placed into the church of Christ, we're keep continuing to look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We're looking for Jesus' return. Sanctified people, set apart people, people who have their mind on Jesus Christ are looking to the clouds every single day. They can't wait for Jesus to come back and get them. But it has to be based upon a transformation. That's the second point. When we consider transformation, turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this transformation is so powerful that people ought to be able to read us. Well, the apostles were ambassadors for Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and following. And as the Apostle Paul brings up a contrast between the old law, which is noticed as the letter, and the new law, which is grace or the Spirit, he says that you are our letters. You know, when we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we gave full allegiance to Jesus Christ. We said, it's no longer my will, but your will be done. I'm going to die every single day. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. And now we're taking in God's word. We're assimilating it. We're thinking about it. We're pondering it. We're meditating upon it. We're applying it to our lives. And people are actually able to read us. You know what that also teaches us? It teaches us that when people read us and they're reading you right, you are who you are. I'm either following Christ or I'm not. I either have the mind of Christ or I don't. I'm either seeking to save in the lost or I'm not. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2 and 3, notice what your Bible there says. Y'all stay with me. He says, you are our letters, our epistles written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the flesh, that is, of the heart. Here, Paul goes back to the old covenant, if you will, Exodus chapter 20, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. He says, you are our letters. What we have received from the Spirit of God, we gave it. What the Spirit received from Jesus Christ, we have it. What Jesus got from the Father, we're giving it to you. And you are our letters. You are proof of our apostleship, Brother Rick. The very fact that we are apostles of Jesus Christ and you're living it out in your life, you are letters on our behalf. Guess what? When we imbibe the apostles' doctrine, we are then letters of the apostles. We're letters of the Spirit. We're letters of Christ. We're letters of God. People ought to be able to read us and say, that person is transformed. His speech, Colossians 4, verse number 6. James 3, verses 1 through 12. The love that they have for one another, 1 John 4, and verse number 2. I'm reminded of what Solomon said in Proverbs 25 and verse number 11, that our words ought to be like apples of gold in settings of silver. People ought to be able to read us. The transformation must take place, all because of the apostles' doctrine and the ministry of righteousness. Friends, we are bold in our speech because of what we're reading and who we are. Question, who are you? What is God transforming you into? I want us to take notice of verse 12. Look at verse 12, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12 and following. Notice what he says. He says, therefore, since we have such hope. Did you see that, friends? He says, we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. Guess what? That old system, the law of Moses, was passing away. Even when it was given, it was passing away. By the time in which Paul then was preaching this, the old system had already passed away, nailed to the cross. But then notice what he says in verse 14, but their minds were blinded. For unto this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Notice this, verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But we all with unveiled faces behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Listen to this. Are being transformed. There's our thought for this particular point. Transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In Romans 8 verse 29 is the divine commentary on this particular idea that we're being conformed to the very image of Christ. It is a transformation. Sanctification transforms us. The Word of God transforms us. We have to do our part. And just as last week, we talked about justification and how it is objective and how God is the one that justifies. Yet sanctification is subjective, meaning that you have to do your part based upon what God has done on His part. Which means that the more that I get God's word in my heart, the more I'm devoted and have devoted myself and sanctified myself through the word of God, the more that I do this, the more that I come into the very image of Christ. So here's the question. How much of Christ do I want to be like? Put online the other day that sanctification has to go into every nook and cranny of our hearts. Wow. Every nook. God, you want every aspect of my life? Okay, we're going to give this a shot. You have to. It's setting apart. We're setting apart every act, every thought, every idea, every motive is sanctified. Everything about us. And this helps us in our marriages. This helps us in our relationships. And really, friends, what life is all about as it relates to Christians is having a great relationship with Jehovah and a great relationship with His people. And even as much as life within you, live at peace with all men. That's the best way I can sum it up. Which means that when my vertical relationship is off, my horizontal will be off. You see that cross there? vertical, horizontal. And so I'm always working on my vertical. Oh, I'm not talking about doing that. I ain't talking about that vertical. I'm talking about my vertical relationship with God. That when I receive His Word, as I read it, and I see, man, this is tough. I need to work on this. So what I do is I study and I close my Bible and I just go, ooh, man, I got to work on that. I mean, that's just real. And then as I'm working on it, okay, let me go practice this. I didn't do too well with that today. Father, help me do better tomorrow. Relationship. And then what God is doing, friends, put this in your notes, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Ephesians 4:23. I don't have time to look into these. Colossians 3, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Ephesians 4:23. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Colossians 3, verse 10. Guess what God is doing? As He is sanctifying us, Brian, He is renewing us. Though our outward man perish, inward man is being made new every single day. Sanctification. You know, we get in more trouble when we don't allow the sanctification process to proceed. Did you get that point? Mike Bonner struggles with wanting to be 10 spaces down when I'm right here right now. That's hard. Royce, that's hard. Because I want to be over there. It's like a teenager in the home, and they want to be out on their own. And then when they get out there, they realize, man, this is tough. Yeah? Well, you try to rush over there to get there. It's the same in Christianity. You need to perfect where you are right now. And don't jump in front of God. Follow God. Allow God to sanctify you. You have to study. You have to apply. You have to be humble. You have to be reasonable. And how often should you do this? Look at 2 Corinthians 4. And let's take a perusal through some of these passages. Sanctification is a process. I know sometimes even I speak from this very pulpit as if you're going to do it right now. I apologize for that. What I don't apologize for is that you ought to desire to be the best person you should be, which means that you put in every effort to be as Christ-like as you can right now under any and every situation and circumstance. Doesn't matter how hard it is. Doesn't matter how emotional it is. Doesn't matter if you have to endure to the point where it hurts. You be everything God desires for you to be in your mind and in your body. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Notice this verse. We looked at it by way of quoting, but notice this verse. Therefore, Paul says, we do not lose heart, going back to verse number 1. Even though our outward man is dying, yet the inward man is being renewed. It's being made new day by day. Why, Paul? What's going on, Paul? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Friends, did you get that? We have to look at things spiritually. Why? We've been sanctified by the Spirit, sanctified by the Word, sanctified by Jesus Christ, sanctified by the blood, sanctified by God. All of those are spiritual things. We are a spiritual people. Therefore, we can't get wrapped up and bent out of shape by the temporal, but we are strengthened by the eternal. Acts 17, look at verse number 11. We have to adopt this attitude. I'm talking to every last one of us. Read to your children the word of God. Tell your children to go in their room and read the word of God. Put the game down. Put the phone down. And the reason why I say that, pick up a paper copy. Because the only notifications you're going to get from God is through his word. You ain't got to worry about notifications from your friends. You know, when you're reading your Bible on your phone, you receive a notification. It's easy to go ahead and look at that notification. You can find out about God. Hour later, oh, what was I doing? Oh, I was reading the Bible. Well, every day, engage in the process of sanctification. In Acts 17, starting at verse number 10, notice what your Bible says. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble or fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And notice what they did, friends, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. College students, I know you have a lot of work to do, but read your Bible every day. Mothers, you have a lot of work to do in the home. Read your Bibles every day. Fathers, you have a lot to do on your job. When you get home, you're tired, but read your Bibles. Because difficult days are coming sometimes. And we have to have a set apart mind, 1 Peter 3 and verse number 15, that when those difficult days come, we're able to persevere and endure. Brother Rick, if it wasn't for our daily communication, I would have it hard sometimes. And vice versa. Find you a good brother or a good sister and communicate and text one another and call one another and keep one another encouraged. I'm thankful to have a wife to talk the Bible with. This is why we ought to marry Christians. So we can talk Bible with one another. Amen. And if you're married to a Christian and you're not talking Bible with your spouse, start today. Start today. Start today. Why? Because you need to be strengthened and sanctified in every aspect of life. If not, why not? I can prove it in Hebrews chapter 3. Turn your Bibles there. I'm almost done. In Hebrews chapter 3, notice verse 12 and 13. We need encouragement. This sanctification process requires encouragement from the brethren, not just from the word of God, not just from God and his son and the blood and the spirit, but from one another. In Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse number 12, here the Hebrews writer brings up a very excellent point from the old covenant. There were some that didn't enter into that rest because of unbelief. And he says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Are you thinking about leaving Christ? I guarantee you, you're thinking about leaving Christ because you're not reading your Bible. You're thinking about leaving Christ because you're not fellowshipping with the saints. You're thinking about leaving Christ because you don't want to dock the doors of God. Leave sin alone. Here, notice what he says. But exhort one another whenever. That's not what he says. Every day. If you're a Christian, you ought to be seeking someone out to encourage every day. You hang in there, baby. You keep doing what's right. Keep taking care of your family. Keep forgiving your loved ones. Keep loving one another. Keep being kind. Keep telling one another the truth. Exhort one another every day. I was telling my wife that I was struggling with with a teaching in the scriptures. And I called up one of my brothers. I said, I'm calling you because I know you're going to tell me the truth. You ain't going to give me what you think and all that. You know. He said, what you got? And I talked to him about it. He told me the truth. And guess what? I was wrong. Praise God. We want to be right. Because the more of God's word we get in our heart, the more we submit to truth, Brother Brian, the more sanctified we are. The more set apart we are. Set apart from what? Set apart from unbelief and departing from the living God. And we do this, Luke 9:23, every single day. Sanctification. Wisdom. Transformation. Daily. Wisdom. Transformation. Daily. There will not be one person that will reach God being lazy. This is work. Going to heaven is work. I know we hear a lot of things. It's all on God and nothing on you. I haven't read that. And it's difficult to even apply that. Because if it's nothing on me, that means I can live any type of life without discipline. And what sanctification does, it actually disciplines us. It disciplines us. It disciples us. It teaches us. It admonishes us. It warns us. It gives us what we need to stand firm and stand still and be fervent and persevere and hang in there. Keep looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's what it does. Sanctification. The opposite, we'll talk about that tonight, is unbelief. And that's a wild life. And even the world is starting to see they don't like wild people. They don't want to live next to wild people. We're a disciplined people. Maybe they're not a child of God. We want to be. We want to be a disciplined people. Wise people, transformed people who do this every single day. Believe that Jesus is Christ, Son of the living God. You're willing to turn away from this. You're willing to confess Jesus Christ to be Lord and be buried in water and initially sins. And God will not only justify you, but He will sanctify you. He will set you apart. He will devote you to His work. Now you've got to do your part. You got to continue to devote yourself. Allow God and the time to clean you up, to get all of that out. It takes time. And maybe you're a child of God. Maybe you're struggling in those things. Maybe you don't give yourself enough time. Maybe you don't give other people time. Thank God He's given us a lifetime to get cleaned up. We need all the time we can get. Don't forget your point, friends. We're going to heaven. And God is pure. And we got to be as clean as possible. So when we get there, we can stay with Him. We're going to live with Him. And you can't live with God if your mind is not where it needs to be. As we stand, we have to sing.